Jenny Mack with your daily comedy news. Trevor Noah hosts the Grammys tonight. We'll talk about that in a second. Here are the late night jokes. They're a little PG today. So if for some reason you listen to this podcast with your kids, why don't you skip ahead about a minute? Republican Congressman Madison Cawthorn is walking back the comments he made about fellow lawmakers inviting him to orgies and cocaine. Remember that from yesterday's jokes? Corden said, first he said on a podcast that they did cocaine in front of him. Now he thinks he may have seen a staffer in a parking garage from 100 yards away. How deluded are you to be in a parking garage, seeing someone lean over to pick up their keys and thinking, uh-oh, looks like another cocaine orgy? Seth Meyers said, this was obviously a very bizarre and shocking allegation, and it ticked off Cawthorn's GOP colleagues because he seemed to be accusing his fellow Republicans of being the sex-crazed drug addicts. And by the way, let me just state for the record, I don't care. Have your orgies. You're consenting adults. If you want to roll out a tarp in a Holiday Inn conference room and go to town on each other, be my guest. He also said to Cawthorn, dude, when you're trying to tamp down orgy rumors, don't say members, just say people. We know who you mean. Trevor Noah is hosting the Grammys tonight. You kind of got to watch, right? What if somebody slaps somebody? That's been known to happen. I want to see what Trevor says in the monologue. Billboard magazine, remember that? They talked to Trevor about music, because, you know, Grammys. Trevor Noah said, when I shower, I think the best song to listen to is Peaches. Clean them, then you gotta sing about it, you know what I mean? When I work out, and I know this might be controversial, but I love Leave the Door Open. You can control the moves as you do it. Don't knock it till you try it. When I'm celebrating anything, Montero, definitely. And then when I need to do an interpretive dance, not often, I probably mean maximum twice a week, I would go with Right on Time by Brandi Carlile. Las Vegas Magazine asked Trevor Noah, are you excited to host this year's event without COVID playing such a big role in the show? Trevor said, definitely. I can't wait to share the electricity of the night with 15,000 people live. It's going to be energizing and so insane. We've spent 2 years as a society kept away from each other. And as we move back to normal, these type of moments are a great way to celebrate. Vegas seems like the perfect fit for the Grammys. Everybody goes to Vegas to party and enjoy the best performers in the world. Now in one night, everybody shares the same stage. It's going to feel special. Later this month, Trevor is going to be the first comedian to host the White House Correspondents' Dinner since 2018. Any expectations? Trevor said, it's going to be interesting because of how much has changed in 4 years. I have no expectations because I've never been, but I know I'm rounding out my experiences in life. Grammys in Vegas, White House Correspondents' Dinner. What about The Daily Show, Trevor? Well, just like the Grammys, we're excited to be working towards a full live audience and starting a new chapter on a familiar road. We'll be incorporating everything we've learned from the hybrid format to everything we know, doing it old school. It's going to be fresh, and I can't wait. Sounds like this was the safest interview ever, and Trevor gave them nothing. Basically, he said the Grammys are going to be exciting. Now, what is weird to me is there has been no Trevor Noah press. Now, remember leading up to the Oscars, there were a lot of Amy Schumer articles. I might have read some. Nothing, really nothing from Trevor Noah. It's very strange. TMZ says some people are a little frosty in Trevor Noah's direction because Trevor Noah gave a hug to one Will Smith at an after party last Sunday. I don't know if you heard this. Will Smith slapped Chris Rock on stage at the Oscars. It was a big story. Google it. TMZ says Will and Trevor embraced for quite a while, more than 1 minute, clearly trying to have a conversation over the loud music at the after party blaring in the room. When it was all said and done, they smiled at each other and posed for some photos. From Page Six, Machine Gun Kelly says he's totally been there for best friend Pete Davidson amid the comedian's drama with Kanye West. MGK was on Howard Stern. He talked about Kanye Gate and said, I got thrown into that too, oddly enough. At the end of the day, man, we're young men trying to find our place in the world and figure it out. It doesn't really help that you have a million voices ripping you apart. He said he and Davidson have so much love to give, and if it means they need to be the vessels for someone's anger, then so be it. That must be why we're here. We love everybody, man. MGK also recently talked about a double date gone wrong. He and fiancé Megan Fox were out with Pete and Kim. We rented out a theater, and I was vouching for this movie so hard. I was like, it's going to be the best movie you've ever seen. But 10 minutes into the film, they all realized it was a mistake. MGK said, do you ever have that moment where you're like, we just shouldn't be here? Despite the bad date, MGK said he's so happy for Pete and Kim, and revealed the comedian will definitely be by his side when he says I do to Megan Fox. Whoa. I think Pete's absolutely going to be standing there with me. We should just mic him for commentary anyway. I can really feel the difference in having my voice back today. I mean, there was a week of shows where I just couldn't go up and down in my intonation. Let's just be honest here. I had COVID. Kind of hinted at it a couple times. Feeling just fine now. But it's so nice to be able to paint with my voice again. Variety reports that Pete Holmes' bowling sitcom did well. How We Roll landed the number two slot in the 2021-2022 broadcast season's list of freshman comedy premieres as ranked by viewership. Number one is How We Roll's Lean In Ghosts. Third is the Wonder Years reboot. Jim Gaffigan spoke to Variety. Jim said, "A lot of my friends and family members who were embracing conspiracy theories had been some of my more entertaining friends as they slipped into destructive conspiracies. It's rather tragic, but we also have to laugh and acknowledge it. I had an expectation that people wouldn't want to hear about COVID, but as I went back out last summer, I discovered that people kind of needed to digest what had happened in a group setting. It was very different with Trump, because during the initial years of his presidency, I don't think the audience wanted to hear anything about him, because they were consuming it on the news all the time. Also, I normally don't do topical material, partly because I'm too lazy. I don't want to come up with material that I can't use for a long time, but the pandemic has become evergreen. Even if it disappeared tomorrow, we'd still reach in our pocket and find a mask. One of the many things I do is I host something called the Weekly Comedy Thing on the Live One app. That is a free weekly show that is the forebearer of this podcast. On the Weekly Comedy Thing, I tell you some quick stories, and then I play a bit by the comedians. So say I was telling you about Jim Gaffigan's friends with the conspiracies. Remember that story from 5 seconds ago? Well, on the Weekly Comedy Thing, I would back that up with a bit by Jim Gaffigan. Now, I don't talk for 20 minutes. I talk for about 30 seconds. So I tell condensed versions of these stories, and then I play the comedians. Anyway, it is free. There's a new episode every week. I publish the new episode on Sunday mornings. It's called the Weekly Comedy Thing, free on the Live One app. You should check it out. The Guardian interviewed a bunch of comedians about Slapgate. Dane Baptiste is the host of the podcast Dane Baptiste Questions Everything. Dane said award shows are not a comedy audience, and the Oscars is probably the least comedic place. They don't put on those dresses and suits to have a laugh. Comedy and the Oscars are always in conflict, which is probably why comedy films never win Oscars. I thought Chris Rock did the best he could under very difficult circumstances. Most comedians have had enough experience to know when things have been pushed too far. You're always aware of the climate in the room 30 seconds into the gig. Rock was bringing a strong energy, campaigning for a response the crowd was very reluctant to give. It's hard enough to deliver the perfect joke with the perfect timing. Situations like that, it's very hard to plan for things going that badly until they happen. You have two choices: respond in kind or with an element of self-depreciation. If you want an evening like that to survive, you have to make the joke on you. Rock's knee-jerk response could have been to deal with Will Smith the way he would a heckler, because he's played hostile rooms. But he took the self-effacing response to toxic masculinity, and it was the brave thing, the smart thing, and the toughest thing to do, to take the position of fool. If you remove the subtext or catalyst and make that moment about the simplest thing it was, a man taking offense at a joke, so he violently attacks the comedian, then it's unforgivable. If we have an environment that allows you to assault a comedian making a joke that upsets you, if the repercussions of offense are violence, then free speech comes with a stipulation. Who decides what that stipulation is? From the San Diego Tribune, Al Franken is out on tour as the only U.S. senator now on tour. Franken answered the question, "How does a guy who never toured as a single stand-up before get to doing that? Basically, I really love stand-up as an art form. I admire people like Carlin and Pryor and a whole bunch of great stand-ups. I've always aspired to it and thought, well, maybe I'll do it someday. I started doing this in 2019 before the pandemic. Well, I started giving speeches, which is distinct from touring. The difference between now and then is I had a podium, spoken, had notes. It wasn't stand-up, but it had a lot of laughs in it. Then as COVID was looking like it might end at some point, I said, you know what? It's time to do stand-up. So I started going to the Comedy Cellar in New York. I was working up my act. It took a while till I was happy with it." The San Diego Tribune said Bill Maher said a few years ago that he has more enthusiastic audiences in red state cities than blue state cities. How about you, Al Franken? Al, well, I'm thinking in red cities there were blue people, and that maybe blue people in red cities are more excited seeing an act that speaks to them than people who live in New York or Boston or San Francisco. I did a show in Kansas City, which probably went Democratic in the 2020 election, but it's not that big a city, and it's surrounded by people who didn't get vaccinated. And then he laughs. So did I. So I think people in reddish areas who are progressives are probably more enthusiastic when I perform. You know, Al, you sound like somebody who would return to politics. I'm not sure. I really enjoy doing the show, and comedy's where I started. I always did political satire when I was on SNL with other people, of course. So going into politics made a lot of sense to me because I cared about this stuff. I do know I'm enjoying what I'm doing now. I have a political action committee that's active and supporting. We just gave $100,000 to a refugee organization. So I'm doing all kinds of stuff and not ruling anything out. Staying political, the Washington Post wrote about the Capitol Steps. You're probably not familiar with them. I know about them from when I used to program the Clean Comedy Channel on Sirius XM. and became a big fan of their DC-based musical political comedy. They used to do stuff like When Bush Comes to Shove and Papa's Got a Brand New Baghdad. Okay, you get the level of humor there. The silly pun-loving group was founded by U.S. Senate staffers in the early 80s. They did original song parodies inspired not just by classic rock and pop, but by show tunes, Christmas carols, and Disney musicals that have Laura Bush borrowing from Elton John to tell George W., don't go faking your smart. Get it? I know I sound like I'm mocking this. I actually really enjoyed the material. The Washington Post writes, it was corny. Gen Z might call it cringe, but it was also clever and creative. The troop members hit their notes, did some great presidential impressions, and had enough showmanship to sell it. By the end, they had performed in all 50 states and for five presidents, Ford, Reagan, Clinton, and both Bushes. Yet in January 2021, after more than 40 albums, the Steps announced that they simply weren't built to survive going a year or more without live performances. Yep, COVID killed the Capitol Steps. They haven't ruled out a reunion tour someday, and they joked, maybe, under the Chelsea Clinton administration. That is your comedy news for today. Back in the morning, we'll see what Trevor Noah did. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. If you would like the show early and without commercials, become a premium subscriber for $5 a month on Apple Podcasts. See you tomorrow.